It is very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. By the way, we'll be giving you a little bit of an update later on what's happening in Coolock. I believe in the Crown Paint Factory, or the old Crown Paint Factory, where there has been an attempt to move in many refugees and asylum seekers. Locals in the area are none too pleased. So much so that somebody seems to have set fire to a JCB and other stuff within the area. We have people down there at the moment. Now, of course, if you've been watching the story over the last year or so, you'll know that people have been protesting in the old Crown Paints factory in Coolock, just opposite or just beside Darrindale there, where there's been a suggestion that up to 700 immigrants or refugees will be moved in for accommodation. Locals in the area, none too pleased. So much so, there seems to be a disturbance there at the moment. And we're going to go to a reporter, Robbie Kane, for Dublin Live, who's actually out there at the moment. Robbie, hi, how are you?
Hello, good afternoon, Niall. Thank you so much for having me on today. Thank you. Yes, of course. We got a phone call this morning at 9 o'clock to say the camp that was here for various months was disbanded by An Garda Síochána this morning. So they actually moved the people who were actually in the camps this morning, and they got security guards in. They brought in then lots of mattresses and a digger, and they were getting equipment in to kind of facilitate this particular place, which was earmarked to house international protection applicants. So we got here around 10 o'clock this morning, and it was about 15 to 20 people, which turned into about 50, and they kind of started getting a bit aggressive to a point, the fact that the security guards were looking out onto the road and they were looking in, and there was barriers around the wall which weren't there initially, and they were pulled down, and of course it got a bit heated, and things were set on fire then this morning. Now, I'm standing right outside at the moment where there's about 50 Gardaí. There's lots of protesters here as well. Numerous emergency vehicles, there's ambulances, there's fire brigades. The fire brigades weren't let in this morning because the digger was set on fire, as well as many of the international protection applicants' mattresses that were burnt. So there's loads of Gardaí, as I said, mentioned before. There's loads of vans here, ambulances, and of course the fire brigades have now left because the fire has actually burnt itself out. So this is what's happening at the moment. The tense situation about an hour ago, I'm hearing the public order unit are on the way down. We're hearing that through multiple sources at the moment. The Gardaí have the place calm, tame at the moment. Over the last 40 minutes, nothing has really happened. You know, people are just here waiting for something that basically to happen. A couple of protesters or people that were coming in from particular areas are with microphones, and they're trying to kind of, you know, entice the Gardaí at the moment, and that's what's happening to a failed attempt. I'm also here with Gavin, Councillor Gavin Pepper is here, and a couple of the residents are beside me as well. Do you want to have a quick word?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, Gavin, live on the Niall Boylan Show.
How are you doing?
Hello, Councillor Pepper. That's I should refer to you as Councillor Pepper. Gavin, congratulations, by the way, on getting elected. Well done to you, by the way. In relation to what's happening there at the moment, Gavin, I'm looking at videos here in the background. You know, there's kind of fire. Somebody said they could see the fire from Dunleary. Anyway, there's fire. What's actually on fire, Gavin? Is it a digger or a JCB or something? Is it was on fire?
Well, I arrived up and it's kind of all burnt now. It was like a JCB, and part of the entrance into the building is after being burnt. There's loads of guards here, there's loads of the community here, Niall, and it's just like a bit of a standoff with the police and the people. Well, not much of a standoff.
There's a lot of guards there. I'm looking at the video. There's a lot of guards. And the protesters now, before the fire started, did they stop the traffic? I've seen some protesters putting the kind of railings across the road and stopping the traffic. So did the protesters stop the traffic, or was that just because the fire was happening and the guards stopped the traffic?
I wasn't here for that, so I don't know. I'll ask one of the women. Sorry, ladies, did the protesters put the barriers up to stop the traffic, or was it the guards when the fire was happening? It was the protesters.
Okay. So, obviously their concern, Gavin, is that there's a lot of men or refugees or whatever it is moving into the area, up to 700 people in the old Crown Paints factory. The reason this happened this morning was they suddenly saw a lot of activity in the area. There were mattresses and beds being moved in, et cetera, et cetera. So they feel this is coming very, very soon. So they've kind of ramped up the protests, I assume.
Well, what's happening, in my opinion, Noel, is that the government, and particularly Helen McEntee, the Justice Minister, had promised communities, and you said it on TV and all, that they were going to engage more with communities about what's going to happen in them. And the reality of it is they're not engaging them. The local councils up here wouldn't meet them properly and talk to them, wouldn't answer emails to them, and just won't engage with them. So the people, Darrindale, Coolock and all that deprivised areas, it's always the working class areas that this is happening to. So as you can see in the canals, the government spent an awful lot of money to put up barriers to keep the illegal male migrants out. They done the same. The Phoenix Park, they were only up for a while, they were moved. And a lot of the more richer, affluent areas, they're moved out immediately and as quick as possible. these areas don't have the solicitors and the money to stop that. Like, this community, like, they're worried about their kids, they're worried about the safety of the kids, and they are saying no. They don't want any of these men in this building. So they're not listening to them. And my opinion with the government is why are they not listening to the people? Like, why aren't they engaging? Like, it's the law. Like, what do we expect is going to happen if you keep ignoring someone? It's like,
I mean, well, yeah, you heard of Anna Bacik and Leo Varadkar at one stage pointing out that locals in an area, and these are their words, I'm paraphrasing, don't have a veto over who moves in. I mean, I personally believe people should have a veto over who moves in to some extent.
Absolutely. Of course people have a veto who moves in. I mean, you're not going to, if you have a bad neighbours and you want to move out, you're going to sell your home and move out. You don't want to live there anymore. Like, you know, that's what a lot of people do. So, like, people, you want decent people in your community. You want people that live beside you, that contribute to the community, that give to the community, that work in the community, that are for the community. But the fact of the matter is, you want to put a load of men, illegal men, straight into a community where there's, right opposite a plex where there's, yeah, children playing in the plex, going to the cinema, and up in Coolock in general, the people have a tendency to let their 12 and 10 year olds go to the cinema, and they go with their friends, and it's always been that way. Now they're worried, now they're concerned, they don't want it in the area. So at the end of the day, I believe they should have a veto on who lives in that community. Okay, so, of course you should.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Stay with me, Gavin. I want to go to Malachy Steenson, Councillor Malachy Steenson as well. Sorry. Malachy, I mean, a bit of a standoff there today. It seems the protest has accelerated. A lot of members of An Garda Síochána, you know, Gavin is talking about what the locals would like to achieve and the lack of transparency. I mean, it's kind of like a broken record at this stage, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, Councillor Pepper is quite correct when he talks about this being imposed on working class areas. It's not been imposed, as we can see, on middle class areas. They've been moved rapidly out of those areas and dumped into somewhere like Coolock. Now, the state have started what has happened today by going in, clearing the protesters out of the way early this morning and demanding, or, you know, getting ready to put in asylum seekers or migrants or whatever they are.
And to clarify for the listeners, I just want to clarify, there has been protesters who've been camped there, essentially, at the entrance for the last, whatever,
for
6 months. Okay.
Yeah.
Peacefully,
and,
by the way.
I mean, the people in Coolock have made it quite clear that they don't want this facility being opened in Coolock. Now, it's time that this government started listening to people. They got their answer during the elections. We have Simon Harris and Helen McEntee and the rest of them telling us that the vast bulk of these people coming in are fake asylum seekers. They've told us that they're coming in through the north from the UK. They've admitted and acknowledged everything that we have said. We have no responsibility to these people coming into this country. And I'm sick and tired of listening to the political and NGO class who are making millions, tens of millions out of this industry, who are saying that we have moral and legal responsibilities to people who are fleeing from London, for instance. We have no responsibility.
There was an excuse before, of course, Keir Starmer was elected.
There's no excuse. No.
Hold on. The excuse the government used was the High Court order that you couldn't send them back to the UK. That excuse is gone now. I mean, because obviously the Rwanda plan is gone. So the UK is now allegedly a safe country. So why aren't they sending them back?
Because for the very same reason that they never sent back the people who got deportation orders before that, this country is being destroyed. And the political class are intent on doing that right throughout Europe with the backing of the media and the NGO culture. And it's ordinary people, like the people in Coolock, like the people in Newtown Mount Kennedy, like the people in East Wall, who are standing up in working class areas and saying, we will no longer tolerate this. And you can see the heavy-handed approach of the state today in Coolock. They are intent on causing civil strife and on causing violence on the streets. That's down to the state. That's Drew Harris's directions to the police.
Okay, I just Malachy, I want to go back to Robbie Kane, if I can, just for a second. I know he's with Gavin Pepper there and a few other people. But Robbie, just in relation to what's happening now.
Hello?
Yeah, Robbie, in relation to what's happening now. I mean, are the police still there? Is there still many police? Is there still many locals? How many people are there roughly now?
I'm just walking around the front of what was burned now in front of me. Obviously, the digger is actually burnt out completely because the fire brigade couldn't get through. The mattresses are all disintegrated because they were burnt out as well. Members of an Garda Síochána who sat right beside me, and they were all on the left-hand side. There's about 50 members of an Garda Síochána. There is a barrier, would you believe, in front of the guards. And Ben Gilroy is here. I think it's Ben Gilroy. It looks like Ben Gilroy or some person there, obviously, with an Irish tricolour flag. And numerous guard vans.
How many protesters would you reckon are there?
I'd say there's about 250 protesters here. Quite young at the moment as well.
And probably an equal number of guards. Probably an equal amount of guards.
But the guards have been here since the fire started this morning. And obviously one of the security guards was taken away.
Has anybody been arrested from what you see?
No arrests at the moment. No, actually, there's a lot of journalists here. Alison O'Reilly has just arrived as well from the Examiner. And there's lots of other people here, photographers. So the press is kind of here as well, looking at this. But as I mentioned before, we're hearing reports that the public order unit and water cannons are on the way down or somewhere near. This is what we're hearing through multiple sources on social media. But at the end of the day, nothing has kicked off at the moment. The guards are keeping an ease at the moment. I'm just looking down the road. Hold on, man. Yeah, there's the public order unit fans. There is about, I'm counting now, there's about 10, 15 police cars on the right-hand side. The public order unit fans are on, down the right-hand side. There's lots of guards here now. There's about 15 Garda cars on one side of the road. Public order unit is right down the very back, just as you come up towards the Coolock, you know, interchange there with, obviously, you know, the Burger King and the Odeon Cinema is as well.
Yeah, sorry, Malachy.
Niall, is that Drew Harris is now in Coolock Garda Station.
Right, okay.
So this has been directed at the very highest levels of the state. And have no doubt that the Gardaí are now going to attack people.
Well, I hope not. I hope this can be resolved peacefully today anyway.
It cannot be resolved. The only way this will be resolved, Niall, is when the state says we are not putting anybody into that building.
Well, that's not going to happen, unfortunately.
That's the only way this is going to be resolved.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I disagree or agree, but that's not going to happen, Malachy.
The state, it is going to happen because that's the only result that the people will put up with.
Yeah.
The fact that Harris is on the streets now with these RUC types policing, he will do exactly what he did with the RUC in the six counties, what his father did before him. They will lash in and attack people. That's why they have the water cannons there. They're in the public honour unit to beat ordinary decent people off the street. That's what they're intent on doing.
I hope they don't beat anybody. I hope nobody gets beaten.
They will not. That's all Drew Harris knows. That's all.
Okay, stay there, both of you, for a second, if you can, because I just want to go to Madeline, who's also there at the protest as well at the moment. Madeline, hi, how are you doing?
Hi, Noel, how are you? I want to get offside before these water cannons come, obviously.
Yeah, and you just heard Robbie Kane there from Dublin Live saying that there was the public order unit are now arriving on the scene.
Yeah, it's quite strange, the atmosphere here. Don't think I've ever seen anything like it in Dublin in my life. The guards are all behind barriers, and the people here, if they're going to attack them, they're literally women and children. There's a few of these young guys that started to throw missiles, but they are these 14 and 15-year-olds that have always been around, but the majority of people here are women and children. Some of the people were here since this kicked off, apparently at 4 o'clock this morning, when the guards went in, and there was only three people sleeping on the protest site. And they gave them 60 seconds to collect their belongings, and the grabs came in and took everything away and dumped it. So word went out on Coolock, and people started to come down, but the guards very quickly had a barrier up here. I've also interviewed some people along the bungalows here on the Malahide Road, and they're literally crying, saying that they've lived there. They're in their 70s and 80s. They've lived there all their lives. Not one politician has knocked on their doors to say this is happening, and this is literally on their doorstep.
How many people, in your estimate, I mean, you heard Robbie mention there a few minutes ago about 250, 300 people. How many people do you estimate are there? I'm not talking about guards. I know there's a lot of guards. How many people do you estimate are there?
I'd say about 200, no more than that. But they are all grandmothers, grandfathers, young women and children, the majority of them.
Okay. And I mean, there hasn't been, thankfully, any arrests so far. The atmosphere at the moment is, I imagine, becoming a little bit tense now if the public order unit have arrived.
It is, because they're standing. The Irish guards who are paid to protect the Irish are standing behind the fence, ready to jump now. And it's just very, very strange. It's like scenes you would have seen up the north of Ireland years ago. This is not on. This is not on. And to talk to people who actually live here, who have had no communication with anybody from the government to say this was happening, it's absolutely bizarre, ludicrous, crazy. Absolutely. Like, I'm talking to the neighbours there and they're just bewildered. These are people in their late 70s who've lived there all their lives. They're bewildered by what is happening around them here.
It does seem very infuriating for people when there's no transparency, no communication. And the one thing that people have been asking for all along is a level of communication. Now, the government will tell you, of course, Roderick O'Gorman's department, that they have communicated with the area. Malachy, from your knowledge, Malachy, when was the last time there was a communication with the community in Coolock in relation to the Crown Paints Factory?
I don't think there's been any communication whatsoever from the state from when this started. And, I mean, the state does not communicate with people.
For people who don't know, this is a huge factory, by the way. This is a massive big, there's like three or four warehouses. It's a huge factory, probably capable of holding about 1,000 people, you know, if they're putting cubicles in with beds and everything else. So.
And that's our intention now.
So where do we go from here, Madeline? I hope you get yourself into a safe situation, and obviously, because unfortunately a lot of people believe that.
I was talking to Malachy on Saturday. Leadership, the public order now are driving down in their vans. This is all very threatening. There's old ladies and buggies and mammies all running. This is getting very serious here now. I talked to Malachy there on Saturday. There wasn't
this is
a lot
protest.
Of people. At a protest, and nobody seems to know. I know Malachy said he had a plan, he knew what was going on, but Jesus Christ, anybody that's interested in saving this country, we need to be talking to each other. We need to be out in the open, transparent, and talking to. This is getting ridiculous here on the Malahide Road, absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, Malachy, this is a question that comes up over and over again in relation to, say, the protest on Saturday, which wasn't very well advertised, unfortunately, and wasn't as successful as it should be. There's a lot of protests. Let me just say this. In relation to the protests, you know, it's like a bit like the boy that cried wolf. You keep saying it over and over again. When another protest here, instead of organising one big mass protest, peaceful protest, by the way, you know, and getting everybody there and getting some leadership. Because I think what people like Madeline, what they want is they want somebody to tell them what's going on. You know, a person to look to.
Well, let me deal with that, firstly. The last protest we had, we had 10,000 people there. Remember, this protest at the weekend just gone is in the middle of holiday season. People are tired after an election as well. And, you know, when we started these protests, we had no
elected
representatives.
Yeah, but they want leadership.
Hold on. There is leadership there. There's a leadership emerging that is in control. And it is, we have already, through that movement that we've created, have people elected in councils right around the country. In October, we will have people elected to a national parliament. And, you know, people who pretend to be on our side and in sudden elections and then walk away and join the most federalist groups in Europe, you know, are attempting to destroy what we're building. There is a leadership there that is emerging.
When is it emerging? Because people like Madeline and other people want somebody, Suzanne and other people, these are very competent people who, you know, will help in any way they can, but they need just one person to look to, well, no, to know what's going on, not 10 people.
Most people would see me as...
Sorry, I'm losing you there. But they also need somebody, Malachy, you know, who is intelligent, somebody who is, you know, doesn't go too far. What I'm saying is, they need somebody who's going to be intelligent, somebody who's going to talk about this in a proper way. They need somebody who's not going to go too far and say things that are bananas, because we all want a level of fairness. But so they need somebody they can look up to. But they don't seem to be getting that in Ireland.
Well,
they're getting 10 people.
You know, who are the 10 people then? There is a collective,
a collection of people online.
That is amazing. People online are not the people who are the leaders in this struggle, right? The people who are the leaders in this battle are the people who are out in the streets, the people who are prepared to stand in elections and get elected and put the huge amount of work in. And you know the amount of work that's needed to try and get elected in this country. And people know who the leadership figures are.
Okay, well, do me a favour. Just stay there for a second. Bernie, sorry, just to come back to you. Do you know who the leadership figures are? No. I don't think anyone does. Yeah. Bernie, sorry, are you there?
Yes, Niall. I follow Maliki with great heart, but we need somebody in the west of Ireland who's just as strong and can do this work. Like, we need to show our hand. I went over 3 times to the protest, and I was very right, but it's cost me over €200 each time between parking, buses and everything. I want to be supportive. I don't agree with what's going on. I think it's horrendous what those poor people at the moment are going through, because we went through it here 5 years ago and nobody listened to us, and we were out in the street morning, noon and night. And, you know, there's loads of people like me and all over Ireland and who are 100% behind the people in Coolock and support them. But how do we do this? Because the guards are coming at us, they're intimidating, you know, the fire that went on here in our local hotel. The guards are still going after people for that.
Maliki, are you in Coolock today, Maliki? No, obviously.
I will be there at some stage later on in the afternoon.
Yeah. Sorry. What did you say, Madeline?
I'm just looking to see where everybody is kind of moving to, because some of the people are putting up barriers to stop the heavies coming down the road. Just the situation is very, very tense. There's people jumping over and hiding behind garden walls here. It's absolutely scandalous that this is happening in Dublin in 2024. Scandalous.
Well, I would just ask you personally, Maliki or Madeline, to get yourself into a safe situation and don't obviously put yourself at any risk or any danger.
Yeah, that's getting very, very tense here. I'll send you whatever footage I have, Niall.
Okay.
And I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you very much indeed, Madeline. I appreciate you. Let me just go to Norman as well, just finally on this. And stay there, Maliki. Norman, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are things?
Good. You know, this is not a good situation. You know, no matter whose side you're on, if you want to start picking sides, it's not good when you have, you know, members of An Garda Síochána, you know, local, and you've heard Madeline say, most of them, and Robbie said it as well, are like women and children, you know, grannies, granddads who happen to live in the area who just don't want this.
Yeah, yeah. It's very difficult for me because my son has just joined the guards, and we've argued over this point, you know, many times, even last Saturday when he came back from Temple Moor. And I don't want him being used as a tool by the government or rich people against my own fellow citizens.
Mm.
But that's the situation it's getting to, you know.
I'm a little bit perturbed by the fact that, you know, somebody has suggested that obviously the special response unit are there now at the moment, or the guard response unit are there at the moment. And now somebody mentioned water cannons. I mean, I hope that's not the case. I've never seen that in Ireland. I don't want to see that in Ireland.
No.
I don't believe it's necessary.
No. It isn't, but this has been brewing. Listen, I'm extremely, you know, I'm quite left-wing. I'm very, very, very pro-immigrant. But the government isn't listening to people. They've had.
How would you feel if you know a factory beside where you lived suddenly, you know, they were going to bring 700 people in, primarily men? They will be all men.
Yeah.
How would you feel about it?
Well, I used to live in a place in Holland, and
just answer the question. All right.
I'm trying to answer the question now.
Yeah.
Give me a chance. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's happened there before. You know, you had a lot of Turkish people, a lot of people. You've had that. This has been, you can see that happening.
I know, it's done before, but I'm asking you, where you live now in Dublin or whatever it is, you know, how would you feel if you got a letter in the door saying, the factory across the road or the green across the road from you, whatever, we're going to build an accommodation there for 700, which tends to be just men. How would you feel about that? Would you be okay with it?
Well, I think we need, if you bring immigrants into the country, they need to be dispersed and they need to be integrated properly and not put in a place like that. And that's for the immigrants themselves, but it's also for the people who live in an area.
So you're saying it's wrong?
Of course it's wrong. It's stupid. It's beyond stupid. When I lived in Holland, there was a campsite that was mainly populated by Irish people. And the local Dutch, you know, were deeply offended and deeply annoyed with the Irish people there. Do you know what I mean? You'll get that. You'll get that if you got 100 people or 700 people or 1,000 people, Germans, and put them somewhere in Dublin, there'd be a problem, you know?
We're not talking about Germans and we're not talking about a particular nationality. We're talking about people with a different culture, yeah. You know, I mean, we had a government last week, you know, talking about, Dubai and the, obviously the young lady from Roscommon who was brought back from Dubai, and them all slapping each other on the back and then telling us how horrible it is to have a culture that that disrespects women and women's rights when it comes to gender-based violence. And yet, you know, we've individuals who practice the same culture and the same religion, you know, wholesale being allowed into the country. That doesn't make any sense, does it? That's a bit weird.
Well, the government's hypocritical in many areas. Yeah. This one of the many areas they're hypocritical in. There's no surprises there. You know, a friend of my sister, sorry, my daughter, on Friday night were attacked by a man in Dame Street, and two of them were smacked to the ground. You know? Yeah. But we do nothing about it. You know, you can't even go into, I have to say to my daughter now, you know, be careful when you go into Dame Street or after work and go out.
It's terrible that you have to tell people that. You know, well, mind you, that's always been the case to some degree. But it does seem like, you know, particularly at night time in Dublin, it's become a very dangerous place. It's become quite lawless. Stay there because, Angela, hi, how are you?
Hi, how's it going?
Okay, getting back to the Crown Paints factory, I mean, what's happening there in Coolock at the moment, it does look like that's going to accelerate into something horrible, and I hope not. But, I mean, the Garda Síochána there, the GRA are there now, as far as I know, and somebody suggested there's water cannons on the way. I don't know how true that is, you know, and people are saying, well, these are only women, children, grannies, granddads, you know. Obviously, you're going to get a few troublemakers. There's always going to be a few troublemakers in every situation.
Yeah, there will. The first thing, I've voiced my opinion on this before, I don't agree with children being brought down there. And especially now, if this is going to get volatile, if this is going to get violent, which it sounds like it will, get your kids out of there, please. Mm. That's the one thing I'll say.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I'm sick to my teeth of it now. And you know what? I am 1,000,000,000% behind Maliki now. 1,000,000,000% behind him. Because what he's saying is true. They're being put into little towns, into areas that are...
Are already financially struggling. Yes.
Yeah, they're financially struggling. And, like, the, once again, you see all over Facebook people 3 weeks waiting to see a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And you're shuffling.
Yeah, but you move 700 more people in. That's that. You're going to extend that to 3.5 weeks. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And again, listen, I don't give it. Right now, Niall, I don't give a shit what anyone calls me. Excuse my language. You can call me whatever you bloody well want. I am sick to death now of everyone getting a free ride coming into this country. They're getting a free ride. And don't tell me that they're not. They're coming in. I don't care where they're staying. I don't give a shit if they're staying in a warehouse or they're staying in housing. I don't care. They're getting a free ride. They're getting the medical. They're getting their food. They're getting accommodation. They're getting all of that. And half of them, we don't even know who they are. We don't. And I know
Sorry, Norman.
No, yeah, they're supposed to be fleeing a war.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently. Let's be clear, Norman. 85% of them, I don't know, a huge percentage of them are not fleeing a war.
Yeah.
They're economic migrants looking for a better life.
Well, 140,000 Ukrainians are not fleeing a war. You know, and yet they're getting everything.
But the thing is, Niall, the other thing about this is, if you go on to booking.com right now, right, and you put in that you want a holiday in the Ukraine, they have some beautiful hotels up there on the other side of the country that are nowhere near the war. So why are they going everywhere else and not staying put in their own country?
I would agree with you that, you know, there should be assistance given to Ukraine to move people, obviously, to different parts of the country that are not affected by the war. But in saying that, you know, I suppose that they're hoping the war doesn't accelerate. I don't think it will, by the way. They're hoping it won't accelerate. But listen, I've run out of time. Angela, Norman, thank you very much indeed. I appreciate both of you coming on the air today. We just thought we'd put that in at the end there. We were talking about Donald Trump earlier on, but obviously wanted to give you that update on what's happening in the Crown Factory, Paint Factory in Coolock. We talked to Councillor Gavin Pepper and also Councillor Maliki Steens in there, as well as reporter for Dublin Live, Robbie Kane, who was also on the scene. And it does look like things might get a little bit nasty there, and I hope not. I hope there's calm and I hope there's peace. And I always say to people, if there's going to be a protest, please try and keep it peaceful. And I also, by the way, I'd like to say that to the Garda Síochána too. If you're a member of a Garda Síochána, remember, they're citizens of your country as well. Your job, by the way, is to keep the peace. Your job is not to start trouble. Because there are members of An Garda Síochána, not all, I'm going to say that. Most of them are good and they do a good job. But there are members of An Garda Síochána that put on a uniform and they think they're God Almighty. And they're the ones who actually start the trouble, to be honest with you. I've seen that on numerous occasions. Malachy as well asked me to mention that there will be a protest at 6 o'clock this evening for those who want to get involved. But once again, I say to you, please keep it peaceful, right? Now, thank you very much indeed to everybody who got involved in the show today. I really do appreciate it, particularly in relation to Donald Trump and also talking about Coolock as well. Thank you to Robbie Kane, Dublin Live reporter, who came on there just to give us an update on what's happening there in Coolock. And thank you to everybody. Remember, we can't provide this show unless you support us. We don't have advertising, so we rely solely on your subscriptions and donations. I put a post up there on Twitter earlier on because obviously we need to have the money to pay the bills at the end of the month. It's not good. It's very difficult for us to do this. There's three of us work on the show. We don't get paid. We have our own full-time jobs. Mind you, I didn't have a full-time job for 8 weeks when I was campaigning for elections, so I lost quite a substantial amount of money. So please, and by the way, for those who said, somebody said, I said that last week, sir, but don't you get your money back, Noel, because you went over 16,000 votes. We get the money back that I spent on the campaign, but I don't get the money back that I lost in wages. The money I spent on the campaign was money we spent on the campaign, you know, which was donations from people, thankfully, by the way. And it was also in relation to costs. That money is gone. We owe that money. So the only money, I don't get back any money personally. I don't make any money out of it and I don't get paid for the time that I was off work. I have to use up holidays or I lose wages. So unfortunately, I don't get paid for that. So please do support us. It's been a difficult time for us over the last 2 months. And I did it all for the right reasons, I promise you. You know, I wasn't going to go off and join some party that I shouldn't have in Europe. I did it all for the right reasons, because I have a passion for this country and I believe somebody needs to be standing on your side. So that's why the podcast is here, to give you an opportunity to air your views. So please support us. A fiver, a tenner, whatever you can donate, please do it on the website, nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com. You can do it on the website now, or you can subscribe for the price of a cup of coffee once a month. It's like us sharing a cup of coffee between the three of us for $5.99 from Starbucks. So please subscribe if you can, either monthly or yearly, and support the show. Please go to the website, nileboylan.com. I can't urge you enough to do that. Without that, we cannot operate this show on a daily basis. Thank you to everybody who got involved. Gary Grip from Grip Media, Gary Kavanagh, and also Michael Walsh, the author, earlier on for talking about Donald Trump. Thank you to everybody. We should talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.